This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him in greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, or rather the theme of the stories of the prophets, whereby we looked at Surah Yunus and Hud, and then Surah Yusuf. And going back to the original forefather of all of these prophets, of all of the Anbiya, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي إِبْرَهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاكَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. As Yusuf alayhi salam, he mentioned that I'm following the way of my forefathers of going back to my father Ya'qub, and prior to that my grandfather Ishaq, and prior to that Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abu al-Bashar, the father of mankind, the father of Abu al-Anbiya, the father of all the prophets, that you find Mu'adham al-Anbiya, majority of the prophets come from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Even the prophet alayhi salatu salam comes from the final lineage of Ismail, that there was no prophets that came from Ismail except for the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So continuing this theme of the Anbiya, the prophets, looking at Surah Ibrahim, the 14th chapter of the Quran, looking at the Surah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected and chose certain prophets. And as he entitles, as we mentioned, some of these surahs by names of certain prophets to give them that even more rank or dignity. Allah mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a khalil, as an intimate friend. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu spoke to Musa alayhi salam, gave him that tashrif, gave him that honor, that Allah spoke directly to him. Rather, Musa alayhi salam went a step further. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to see you inside this dunya. قَالَ لَن تَرَانِي. You're never going to be able to see me inside this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed, they say, a small glimpse of light. A tip of a finger of Nur was extracted or shown on this dunya. And everything was destroyed. The mountain collapsed and Musa alayhi salam collapsed as well. And then when he awoke, then he repented back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this to show how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala istafa al-anbiya wal-mursaleen. Allah chose and selected the prophets and the messengers. That's to read about qasasul anbiya, read about the stories of the prophets, to see who, if we can use these words, the men of God, who these individuals they were. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala select them and choose them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Ibrahim, inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita lillahi hanifa. Ibrahim alayhi salam was one individual, one man. But Allah describes him as an ummah, as a nation, a complete nation. That's what we're trying to instill in ourselves, that one individual is an ummah, is a nation, is a head of a home, head of a community, head of a society. No one should undermine themselves that, what's the point in me doing something? That's why if there's a million Muslims or a billion Muslims, if you put each percentage together, it becomes a powerful force. That even all of us were to breathe, it becomes a powerful force. So this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam was, that he never questioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave him certain commandments, certain tasks, he fulfilled them. He never asked these questions we're going to come to inside this surah. He never asked this question, why are you leaving me in a barren, empty land? There's no one there. Why are you telling me to stand and give da'wah to these people? Oh, there is no people there. There's no one there. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alladhi waffa. Ibrahim, he fulfilled every single promise, every single commandment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do. He carried it out. Allah mentioned, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah mentioned inside the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, or coming towards the end of the first juz, that Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salam بِكَلِمَاتٍ, with certain commands. كَلِمَاتٍ هُنَّ بِمَعْنَى الْأَوَامِرِ. He was given certain commandments were given to him. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. He completed them. That's who Ibrahim alayhi salam was. مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ Ibrahim. Follow the millah, the way of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's this surah of struggling, of striving that we find. And also it mentions the fruits and the rewards of striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A surah of pure tawheed, to stay away from shirk. Rather, some ulama say it's not just a, a surah of tawheed. It's a surah of iman. Because if you dissect this surah, it speaks about al-iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in the messenger, belief in the last day, belief in the reward in the last day, belief the punishment in the last day. So as if it's containing near enough all of the six articles of iman are inside this surah. A Meccan surah, the 14th surah of the Quran, which only 52 verses, primarily speaking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid out inside this surah about certain commandments that he gave to Ibrahim alayhi salam, or commandments he gave to all of the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this surah by saying Alif Lam Ra. And many times people, some of us may be thinking, what's the point in trying to dissect and understand certain things inside the Quran? There is a point. As we mentioned, those who understand it, extract it, they understand it. There's only certain surahs inside the Quran that Allah began with Alif Lam Ra. And strange is, what are those surahs? Surah Yunus, Surah Hud, Surah Yusuf, and Surah Al-Hijr. All these surahs, they're all speaking about the messengers. Three of them are directly, Ibrahim, four of them directly are speaking about messengers. And Surah Al-Hijr is speaking about Salih alayhi salam. So all the surahs that begin with Alif Lam Ra, they're speaking about prophets. And the second thing that they speak about is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you study them, each one begins by speaking about this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like inside Surah Yusuf, Allah began by speaking, this is Alif Lam Ra. This is the clear book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we sent down this book, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We sent down this book in the pure Arabic language that you can comprehend and understand. So this is the significance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, the messenger speaks about the revelation he gave these messengers. And as we mentioned, that the deeper meaning of these letters, no one knows them. But as if these are huruf al-tahaddi, letters of challenging people who know the Arabic language, challenging the Quraysh. That's why this surah, even when it speaks about Musa alayhi salam, ulama said, it's not speaking about Musa, it's challenging the Quraysh. That look at what happened between Musa and Fir'aun, what took place there. Because it's a Meccan surah. And look at you Quraysh, that you're trying to challenge the prophets. You're trying to challenge Allah. Afillay shakun fatiris samawati wal ard. Are you trying to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you trying to doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you trying to ask about the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah mentions by speaking at this occasion inside this surah. However, Allah mentions that we sent down kitabun anzalnahu ilayka. On this occasion, Allah says, we sent down the book upon you. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. But on this occasion, Allah mentions, we sent down the book upon you that you may expel, take people out from ظُلُمَات. Take people out of darkness or darknesses ila nur. Darknesses are many. Nur is one. Light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Nurullah yu'tihi man yasha. The nur of Allah gives to whomever He wants. Nurun ala nur. Light upon light. Allah guides to whomever He wants to that light. Dhulumat is many. Darknesses are many. And this book is what takes people out of darknesses. Bi'idni rabbim ila suratul aziz al hamid. It takes you to the right path. As we mentioned many times, this Quran, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. This Quran leads to that which is accurate, that which is correct. قَوَامَ, strong, powerful. What makes a man powerful? It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What makes a person upright? What teaches us what's right and wrong inside today's world? What will teach us when the world teaches so many different things? It's only the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will take you out the realms of darknesses to the light. And Allah mentioned this many times, this parable of taking people out, expelling people from darknesses to the light. Allah mentions inside Surah Al-Baqarah, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the wali, is the friend. How does one become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How does one become a friend? By doing those things that Allah tells us to do. There's no shortcut way to become a friend of Allah. There's no days off of becoming the friend of Allah. There's no picking and choosing when you want to become the friend of Allah. There's commandments that Allah says. The only way you come closer to me is via al-fara'id. Is via the obligatory actions. Then to excel in doing supererogatory actions. Not go to the supererogatory actions first or the tertiary actions first and abandon fara'id. Focus upon the fundamental concepts of how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is via as-salah. Waqim as-salata li-dhikri. establish the prayer for the dhikr of Allah, for the remembrance of Allah, al-qurb ila Allah, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He's the one, the friend, the ally who takes people out the realms of darkness to the light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Allah is the one who sent upon His servant, ayatim bayyinat, clear verses. He sends down upon His servant, liyukhrijakum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Once again, the task of the Prophet alayhi salam is to take people out the realms of darknesses to the light. Person who comes to Islam, that's success. That's what we should be looking at, success of a person moving away from disobedience to obedience. That's the greater goal. That's the advantage of what we should be worrying about inside this society. But some of us, we don't seem to understand what the message of the Quran is. We get so bogged down with semantics, with other things. The Quran is a generic language. Quran is saying to take people out the realms of darknesses to the nur. That's what our goal, that's what our purpose should be, living inside this society. And then Allah mentioned in another place inside the Quran, speaking once again about this concept of dhulumat ila nur, which comes many times. Then Allah mentioned about the use of preaching to people. As we mentioned, it's not possible to go through all 52 verses inside this surah. But certain ayat that we can pluck and see relevance to us. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We never sent any messenger except for to speak the rhetoric, the language of their people. You know, many of us, we live in a dazed world. We quote 18th, 19th century fatwa that we quote about the English language, whether we should engage in the English language or not. When I mentioned about Arabic language, I spoke about understanding the Quran. As Allah mentions that Surah Yusuf, we mentioned that we sent down the Quran, إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. To understand nusus, you need the Arabic language. أَمَّا خِطَابُ النَّاسِ, as to live with people, to speak with the people, you need to know the language, the thaqaf of the people, the culture of the people, the mindset of the people. Because Allah had mentioned here inside Surah Ibrahim, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ, we may have sent any messenger, إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ, except for the language of his people. How many prophets spoke Arabic? Only four: Hud, Salih, Shu'aib. Three prophets, wa nabiyuna Muhammad, Isa. These are only four prophets that were pure Arabs, fasaha, inside the language. Amma Ismail, kana Arab musta'mir, or musta'bir. He was an Arab who learned the Arabic language from the tribe of Banu Jurhum. Musta'raba, he wasn't an Arab by nature in his language. He learned and he became proficient inside their language. So Arabic is a medium to speak, to understand, in the source of the Quran and the Sunnah. But it doesn't become the medium in the country that you live in the environment that you live in. And the reason why I mention it is because this is still what we're arguing about. What language should we speak the khutbah to the people? Not to undermine any masjid or any authority or any people. They may be far beyond us. But what is fiqh fiddin? What is fiqh fiddin is to understand where you're living, what you're doing, what you're speaking to people about. Why are we going around speaking to people, plucking people as soon as they become Muslim, that this is 1, 2, 3 that you need to be aware of? That's all that we worry about. It's not about be aware of this. It's what do you need to do to become a good Muslim? What fundamental practices do you need to have inside your life? That's why we're so fractured, because we don't really understand the message of the Quran. We don't understand the Sunnah. We live with our warped understanding. This is what the Quran and Sunnah is saying to us. This is what it's telling us to do. Quran is to be expressed to humanity, to express to the world, to engage with the world, to speak to people, to be able to understand people. That's what all the Anbiya, the messengers, they had the ability, the rational ability to speak to people, to engage with people, which many of us, we don't have. لَمْ يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ نَبِيًّا إِلَّا بِلُغَةِ قَوْمِهِ. Even this hadith is questionable. We never sent any messenger except for the language of his people, to be able to engage with them, and to do what? Then Allah mentions, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, to remind them about the days of Allah, about the last day, about Iman, about Allah, about His Messenger, to remind them about core elements of teaching. Because when a person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything else becomes simple. You know, it's not dogma theology that we bombard people, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, this is what makes you Muslim. No. What makes you a Muslim is khashyatullah. What makes you Muslim is your fear of Allah. That's not dogma, that's not theology. You can read about it every single day, but if you don't try to implement it, You don't have that inside your heart and your mind that I'm a Muslim because I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my overriding factor. What I'm living, what I'm doing inside my life is fear of Allah. That I fear His punishment if I fall short. And I hope for His mercy and His forgiveness. That if I fulfill the task that He tells me to carry out inside this dunya. And as we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out this inside this surah, that He wants thanks from us. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Your Lord has announced, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ, you're grateful. What is ibadah? Ibadah is shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah isn't a ritual. Many of us say, oh, I just prayed my Jum'ah. I just read Friday prayer. I came to the masjid. As if we're doing some service to Islam. As if we're doing some service to Allah. Do you really think deep down inside your heart, Allah needs our salawat? Allah needs our prayers? Allah needs our obedience? That I'm doing some great favor by coming to the masjid. I'm helping the masjid. I'm helping the community. You're only helping yourself. That's what you're doing. That's why al-ibadah is shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate shukr isn't just to say alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. The ultimate level of shukr is ubudiyah. Is that your body is in a state of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Look at the mercy of Allah. نَبِّ عِبَادِ أَنِّي أَنَّ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Announce to my servants. Another place in the Quran that I'm merciful. I forgive and I pardon. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِي رَحْمَةً. Allah has written it upon himself to be merciful to the believers. He'll be merciful. That you be thankful to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me and I'll remember you. Show gratitude to me and don't be ungrateful to me, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you be thankful to Allah, He would, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase you. And if you become the opposite, وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. That's the balance, the equilibrium, that some of us say that as Muslims, oh, Allah is always ghafoor rahim, He'll pardon, He'll forgive in our culture. That's what it is. He pardons, He forgives. But at the same time, in the same eye, He leaves the balance. That if you disbelieve or you become ungrateful, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, that my punishment is also going to be severe in disobeying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentioned, where in another place, speak about His ni'am inside the same surah. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. If you look at the siyaq, the context of this ayat, Allah mentions that He made the sun, the moon, the night, the day, subjugated all of this for us. All of this, whatever we see around us, Allah has placed it for us, the human being. And then Allah said, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. Everything you ask before, I give it to you. About the ni'mah of Allah, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You try to count them, you're never going to be able to enumerate them. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Look how Allah describes us. Says He gives us all His ni'am. At the same time, He highlights that the human being is dhuluman kafar. He's going to be oppressive. He's going to be ungrateful. Wealth, power, position, prestige, honor, dignity, mind, health, education. What do most of us say? It's my own skill, my own ability, my own mindset, my own struggle, my own this, my own that. How is that plausible? For a person to use such words. That's what I said to Dawood alayhi salam about giving shukr. As Allah mentioned to Dawood, اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ الشُّكْرَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Oh, آلَ دَاوُود, oh, family Dawood, give shukr. Only a few servants are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that I'm not able to. He said, Ya Rab, I'm not able to give shukr to you. Because the giving of shukr entails another ni'mah. And then he said that now, al-an, Ya Dawood, أنك فهمت أنك قاصر في حق الله سبحانه وتعالى. Now Dawood, you understand that you're deficient, there's taqseer. Now that your shukr, it becomes something which is rewarding. That even giving shukr, you know that you're not capable of giving shukr. That's a blessing that Allah gives you the tawfiq to imagine. تصوروا هذا. We take it so lightly just to say the name of Allah. اسم الجلالة. هذه نعمة من الله. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to utter the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because inside this surah mentions, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will give ithbat to those people who believe in Him with qawlu thabit, with a qawlu statement of La ilaha illallah. And as we find that in certain narration mentions, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحْرِمْ الرِّزْقِ بِذَنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Even though some ulama question this hadith. But what takes away the ni'am, the blessings away from us? It's sins, disobedience, being ungrateful. It takes away the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is amongst the snares of shaitan to make us to become ungrateful. As we find this long passage, this long discussion, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمَرِ. When judgment day has been established, that's what ulama like Ibn Kathir highlights, this is the khutbah of Iblis, the khutbah of shaitan. This is the khutbah, the sermon of the devil inside Jahannam. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمَرِ. When judgment day has been established, shaitan will say, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَعْدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ. Allah gave you a true promise. He promised you something. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْرَفْتُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. And I went against that promise. And I deceived you as well. And I had no power or control over upon you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. All that I did is I whispered to you. That's all I did in my life. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurinas. You know, we walk around saying, I'm a powerful man, I'm strong, look at my strength, look at this. One small whisper of shaitan breaks many of us down. One small waswasa, one small glance, one small kalam, one small smile from the opposite gender crumbles people, destroys nations, destroys families. That's what he says. All I did is I called you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. And you responded. You claim to be a powerful individual. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me. Don't blame me today. Blame your own self. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِيَّ. I'm not going to be able to help you. مَا أَسْتَطِي أَنْ أُسَاعِدُكُمْ الْآنْ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. I'm not going to be able to help you, and you can't help me. إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. I disobeyed long time ago. I committed shirk. I knew what was going to be my ending. But I made that promise to send mankind astray. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. He gives these false promises, false hopes, false aspirations. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Shaitan is full of deception. That's all that shaitan is, to deceive, to come, to trick people. What did he say to Adam alayhi salam? Eat from this tree. The only reason why you're prevented is because Allah doesn't want you to live for eternity in Jannah. Allah doesn't want that blessing to you. So that whispering led him to whisper in the mind of Adam alayhi salam to expel him from Jannah and make us to come upon this earth. And then Allah reminds us about the impact of words. Inside this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this parable of a good word. The deeper meaning is the word of tawheed. And the other general meaning, any good word, any good speech. Kalimatan tayyibatan. Have you not seen the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of a good word is like a shajaratun tayyiba. Asluha thabitun wa far'uha fis samaa. تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. Allah gives a parable of a good tree. A good word is like a good tree. أصلها ثابت, is firm in the ground. وفرعها في السماء, and its branches are out in the sky, in the heavens. And every so often it gives out fruits by the permission of its Lord. It's Ibn Kathir, is that Tafsir mentions Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned that this shajar, this tree, going back to the Prophet alayhi salam, what is this tree? This tree is nakhla, is a date palm tree. Asnuha thabitun, it's firm in the ground. And it gives out its fruits every so often. That's the parable of the believer, that it gives out these good fruits. Shajaratun tayyiba is a good qawl, qawlu la ilaha illallah, that Allah establishes in the heart and the mind of the individual. And the good actions, or the fruits are, wa farwa fi sama, is the good actions that Allah grants that individual to carry out inside their life. And likewise, the opposite is mentioned. of the evil word or the bad word. It's kashajaratin khabithatin. It's like a bad tree. And Ibn Kathir mentions like hamza, like a colocynth, like a cactus plant. Ma laha min qarar. It has no affirmation on the ground. That's why he mentions that his tafsir, he speaks about kufr, disbelief. It has no foundation. It has no benefit. It has no fruits. La aslalahu. Doesn't benefit the individual, the path of kufr and disbelief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from those individuals who are trying to go towards his path. Yataqabbal minhum, those who are the pious individuals. So he mentions, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُدِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءَ. Allah gives affirmation to those individuals with قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهِ لَلَّهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَالْآخِرَةِ أَشْهُرُ الْأَقْوَالِ هُوَ فِي الْقَبَرِ. Allah give you tawfiq to say لا إله إلا الله inside the grave. That's why Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he writes 10 pages, 10 A4 pages, describing all narrations, speaking about this one verse, speaking about the journey inside al-akhirah. About what is qawlu thabit? What is this qawlu thabit fil qabr that Allah will give to the individual who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He narrates the famous hadith of Bara ibn Azib. Read this long hadith, speaking about the journey of the soul. What will happen to the believing individual, disbelieving individual, whether the Prophet he buried an individual. And then he said to his companions, as we began with, remind about the days of Allah. This is what we should be engaging and speaking to people about. Your preparation for the last day. Your preparation to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's not going to ask you about semantics, about words and about rhetoric. There's just three simple questions. And three simple answers. That's all the test is. Nothing more, nothing less. You're not going to be asked about Alan wa Fulan. If you're not in that position of authority or anything, you're never going to be asked about that. You're just going to be asked those three specific questions for every single one of us. Man Rabbuk, who's your Lord? Wa ma dina, what's your religion that you follow in this world? And who's this messenger that was sent to you? All of us, we know what the answers are. But many of us, may Allah forbid, are not going to be able to give the answers. Because we never lived the life. We never lived it in this dunya. We never had it deep down inside our mind to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find istaghfiru li akhikum, as we find when the final footsteps walk away from the grave, he said to his companions, he said to them, seek forgiveness for your companion. Was'alullah lahu bitathbeet. فَإِنَّهُ الْآنْ يُسْأَلْ. Ask Allah to make him firm in the grave. Because now he's going to be asked. We bury people day in, day out. For some of us it makes no difference. كَفَى بِالْمَوْتِ وَاعِذًا. Sufficient is death as an admonition. You don't need excessive reminders just to see death. Just to see the pangs of death. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Just to see that. Just to visualize that. That's enough for an individual. When a person sees that, to awaken themselves. That what am I doing in the face of this earth? What have I done? What am I doing? You know, that's why somebody, even a psychologist, speak about this example. That if a person was just brought out and is placed on a ship, they're going to ask simple questions. How do we get here? What are we doing and where are we going? The world is a ship, is a safina, is a ship to a journey to Allah. We're traveling a ship. We don't know why we're on this ship. What we're supposed to do in this ship. And what we're trying to do to help ourselves to get to the end destination. فَإِنَّهُ الْآنْ يُسْأَلْ. And thus we find then comes the main theme of this surah to speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam. That Allah says about Ibrahim, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. وَجُنُوبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُودَ الْأَصْنَامِ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He's praying, oh Allah, make my progeny, my genealogy. Don't make them rich. Don't make them rule and conquer. Don't make them powerful. He said, I'll ask you, Allah, no one in my progeny ever worships statues or idols. That's what he prayed for. Even when he left them in a barren land, he left them in an empty land. He said, oh Allah, I'm leaving them in this empty, barren land. Psychologically, you'll expect him to say, oh Allah, give them food and drink. What does he say? He says, oh Allah, give them the tawfiq, the ability to establish the prayer, spiritual fulfillment. Then he said after that, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ. Then give people's heart to become an inclination towards them. وَارْزُقُوا مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Then give them blessings of the dunya so they may be grateful. But his first worry was a spiritual need. As a father, he's worried. His spiritual need. What is the spiritual need of my children, my ummah? What do they need? That's what they need. So he prayed to Allah, never ever in my lineage make anybody worship statues. Look at our culture. Look at our history. Most of us, what are we? We came from a lineage of worshipping idols and statues in the subcontinent. Hatta al-bilad al-Arab that we find, they were worshipping statues. Al-Lat wal-Uzza wa-Manat. They worshipped them. And the Prophet, he took them out from Zulumat ila Nur. That's why when he entered into the Kaaba and he saw the depiction that they done of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَجَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. He began to smash these idols, these 300 odd idols inside the Kaaba. He smashed them with his stick, with his staff, the Prophet alayhi salam. This is how they're depicting the prophets, the anbiya, these idols, these statues. They think they bring them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A pure, pristine belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, Abu al-Anbiya, that's why I look through the Quran, how many times he makes supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi, Rabbana, even inside the siyak of these ayat, how many times he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking, imploring upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless his progeny, to bless this environment. And he says, Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in inda baytika al-muharram. He makes his dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm leaving my family members here in his empty, barren land. To a certain degree, Makkah is still a barren, empty land. If you really study and look at it in great detail, it's an empty, mountainous area. Or a very, very long time ago, I made that supplication, asking Allah that I'm leaving my family here. Make them amongst those individuals mentioned, Rabbana liyuqimu salah, those who begin to establish the prayer and obedience towards you. He then mentioned, Rabbana innaka ta'lamu ma nukhfi wa ma nu'lin. That's what, as we mentioned, belief is. Allah, you know what we reveal and what we conceal. That's what iman is. Nothing can be hidden from Allah. وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Nothing can be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Whether it be in the heavens and the earth, you can't conceal anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he prays, he asks Allah, you've bestowed upon me. عَلَى الْكِبْرِ إِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقِ. He gave me the blessing of Ismail Ishaq. Inna Rabbi la sami'u du'a. Indeed, my Lord is the one who responds to the du'a. Then he makes his most famous du'a that all of us say in our salah. Rabbi ij'alni muqim as-salati min dhurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Rabbana akfirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumu al-hisab. All of us, we conclude our salah with this in the final tashahud. Rabbi ij'alni muqim as-salati. Oh Allah, make me one who established the prayer. Wa min dhurriyati. And for my progeny, my lineage, my children. Make them to establish the prayer. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ du'a. Oh my Lord, accept it from me. Another place in the Quran, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. When he Ibrahim and Ismail were building the Kaaba. Because even after doing these actions, you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ. Oh my Lord, forgive me and forgive my parents and their believing when they come on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go against these supplications. That we mentioned here, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهُ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. This is for us, تَسْلِيَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That don't lose hope. That the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking place. So as if this ayah is speaking to us even now in the modern world. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهُ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't ever think that Allah is heedless, unaware of what the oppressors are doing on the face of this earth. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. We're going to bring them on that day whereby their eyesight is snatched away. يوم القيامة. Where there's no hiding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentions a few verses later, وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ. They try to plot and they're planning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. They plot and they plan. And their plotting and planning is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if their plotting and planning can move, if there's, it says, it's a form of speech, even to move a mountain from its location, Allah knows about that. That's what they do. They move countries, states, people that as if they never existed before, or make their false accusations or claims. This was always our land, always our property, always belonged to us. It's just drawing lines and maps here. This deceiving cannot be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a short world. Then Allah again mentions, فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهُ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُلَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Don't ever think that Allah will go against His promise. And we let down His prophets, His messengers, and those who follow the way of His messengers. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Allah is mighty, powerful. One who takes retribution. He will bring people to accountability. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Then Allah describes that He will change His heavens and the earth. Everything will change it. And then you'll be brought forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's in conclusion, the surah began by speaking about the Quran. And the surah ends by speaking about هَذَا بَلَاغُ لِلنَّاسِ. هَذَا بَلَاغُ بِمَعْنَى this kalam al-Quran, the speech of the Quran. It begins with the Quran, it ends with the Quran. وَلِيُنذِرُوا بِهِ. And to warn people via the use of the Quran. وَلِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَمَا وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. That you may get to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one to be worshipped. And that says Allah, He began, we mentioned, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاتِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you question your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rather, Muslims shouldn't fall to what we began with, all these isms around us that Muslims are asking this question. Prove to me the existence of God. Prove to me that God exists. Prove to me that this is beneficial to me inside my life. Prove to me that prayer is something beneficial. Zakat is beneficial. Staying from haram is beneficial. Because everybody in the world is doing it. I don't see no benefits. But the benefits are there inside the Quran, what the benefits are. But because we're following the logical world around us and not the spiritual world of the Quran, even the Quran does speak logic. It speaks a lot of logic to help us to instill inside our mind the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغْ, to warn people whoever it comes to. And as you find that many ulama said, this all, as Ibn Kathir mentions, all these ayat, all the Quran, أَمَّا آيَاتُ الْقُرْآنِيَةُ أَوْ آيَاتُ الْكَوْنِيَةُ, ayat of universal signs, or ayat of the Quran. يَسْتَدِلُّ أَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقِّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That's what it proves. All these ayat inside the Quran, they prove. But we're the ones that are aloof. We're the ones that are far away from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we began with. That we claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We claim to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how much of His book do we try to decipher, or try to understand, or to read, or to nourish our soul and our mind with? As you mentioned, even one ayah in a day, one page in a day, half a page, a few verses. Just that we have that nourishing need to eat, to drink. Why don't we have that feel for our soul? That I've not read Quran today. I should be upset within myself. I didn't read Quran, didn't recite Quran, didn't ponder over it, didn't reflect upon it, didn't read some verses about it to keep me going. We're human beings. We're human beings. We need that spiritual engagement. Day in, day out, as we began, we were left to our own devices. Shaitan, with that quick waswasa, will take many of us astray. If not all of us astray, except for ibad al-mukhlisin, except for the sincere servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals.